This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. Today on the program, we're once again speaking with Dr. Nikki Martinez, who has been working as an independent medical expert to assist the courts for the past decade. Dr. Martinez has also been an adjunct professor for nearly 14 years as she engages in domestic and international consulting for various individuals, groups, and organizations, as well as continues to see a small caseload of individual and couples clients through telemental health services. Her large catalog of articles for the Huffington Post and EverydayPower.com can be seen in the show notes from her work as a contributor for both publications. Today's topic is bad habits we can break that are linked to depression and or anxiety, and scientifically proven ways to be happier. And Dr. Martinez, thanks for joining us here today on the program once again.
It's so good to be back. Thanks for having me.
And you're more than welcome. Always good to have you, and trust you had a great Christmas holiday weekend as well. So let's just get right into this. When I hear the words habits, I think of things that people do or are doing in their daily routine that they might be able to change to make an impact on their depression or anxiety. Is that accurate when I think of these things?
That's exactly right. The things that, and a lot of these seem obvious, but when you sort of take them away or add them together, they really add up and they make a difference. So when people are lacking exercise or taking on the role of like what we think of as couch potato, this can serve to increase feelings of depression. So getting up and getting moving, even starting just a little bit at a time, can have a significant impact on mood. Eating unhealthy foods can bring us down in many levels. It makes us feel depressed and lethargic, like we're not running on all cylinders. So eating a healthy and balanced diet, while that seems obvious, actually does make us feel good inside and out. It makes us feel like we're operating at a maximum functioning. If you live in the Midwest like me, you're all too aware that we lack natural light. We're going into our 8-month-long winter right now, so we feel more depressed. So getting a light machine, which is empirically proven, I'll talk about that a little more later, and supplementing vitamin C, and doing anything that helps to produce natural light around you helps to counter this issue. Continuing with the previous theme, not getting enough vitamin D as well can cause feelings of depression in those long, long winter months that we're used to here. And just one of the factors that can cause low vitamin D levels is a problem that can be easily resolved with a daily vitamin F supplement as well, if you're feeling down and not sure why. It's really important early in the process too, you can get a vitamin panel by your doctor when you get sort of your full physical. It's a good time to go during the year to find out if you're sort of even in an additional deficit and if you need to get a supplement. Another big surprise, and this is a big practice what I preach, is that if you have poor sleep habits, this can have a major impact on depression and anxiety. If we're not getting enough sleep, we can be irritable, foggy, and then our brains are not producing enough of the chemicals that we need, and that's responsible for mood. Many people don't realize that during the night, we replenish the immunities that while we sleep. So poor sleep actually has an impact on our mood functioning, and it leaves us feeling unwell. So we simply remove if we remove the electronics from our bedroom, and I know that's a big sacrifice for a lot of people, this helps us to simulate sleep. And it's the blue screens. They actually have a big impact, and people have heard that before, but they don't want to believe it a lot of the time. But this helps us resolve a lot of the issues. And then it helps us, and we should be going to sleep and waking up at the same time every day. Also, a diet high in sugar, carbs, fried food has a serious impact on our mood. I touched on that about a minute ago. And it's worth expanding on. A diet that it leaves us with low energy and low mood, and it doesn't help us be in the best situation. We want a diet rich in fruits, vegetables, omega-3s. They're all mood-boosting properties. And our system would be running and functioning at our best, and it helps our mood be at its best. Also, saffron has been shown to have natural mood enhancers. So if you love the herb, cook away. But also for any of these changes, while they are great changes, you should always consult your doctor before making a bunch of drastic changes in your life. However, I don't think they're going to be against all of these. They seem like pretty logical changes, you know, getting up, getting sleep, eating healthy, but you should always consult before you're making a bunch of drastic changes all at once. You should make slow, manageable changes to your life.
Some great detailed information shared here today to get things underway here today on this topic, and actually some points and details mentioned that you don't think about every day. So good stuff. Now, you've also talked several times about the importance of establishing a morning and evening routine. Talk a little bit about that and its impact on your mood as well.
Yes. I've talked about setting aside a little time, and I know that, you know, me included, we'd like to, you know, hit the snooze alarm. We feel like we don't have enough time in the day. It's really important to have a little bit of a buffer on the start and the end of the day where we're not, you know, checking emails, rushing, going around. We have to have that time where we can really set the tone for the day, ease into it, have time just to ourselves. I've mentioned before in other interviews that we've done that I do just at home, my own like AM and PM yoga, like really just to like have a little bit of time to ease into the day and get myself centered. At night, you can do, you can have a warm bath. This actually dilates the blood vessels in your extremities, and then it cools the body once you leave the tub. It actually mimics the natural drop in your body temperature that you need for sleep. As I had mentioned, you can practice yoga or meditate if you can get into that, and try, you can also try a deep breathing exercise through your nose and out through your abdomen. This is known as diaphragmatic breathing. You breathe in for 3 seconds and out through your mouth. And then you repeat it again. You can do this for up to 3 minutes. I usually do it for about 10 times. You can also do yoga. The diaphragmatic breathing, actually, as a side note, it's actually great for nausea and sports as well. And it's also great for anxiety. It actually produces a reaction in your body. You can't be simultaneously anxious and calmly breathing at once. Anybody can try it. If you do it 10 times, your body will just calm down. So it's great for both sleep, relaxation, and it calms you and gets you ready for sleep. You can do bedtime yoga, such as I mentioned that I do, and it really calms the body. It stretches you out and it gets you in a relaxed state for sleep. There's a ton of best sleep apps. I'm actually working on an article for Everyday Power that's going to have a ton of apps that have sleep apps, podcasts, even just things that have the most calming voices that you can listen to lull you to sleep. You can write to-do lists. If you are somebody that, and this is very common, that you feel your mind racing with anxious thoughts at night, have a to-do list by the side of your bed. Get all of those thoughts and all of that list and all those anxieties that you're worried about out on paper. Just put them out and get them down, and then you can leave them there. Let it be like a manifestation before sleeping. In an hour before bed, write them out and then let them be. And then also, if you're somebody who needs to exercise at night, yoga is really something that's just like calming. So that's a little bit different. But if you're somebody that needs to exercise at night, you should actually do it 3 hours before bed. Working out can actually do wonders for sleep because it produces endorphins, but your body temperature actually needs to cool for you to be ready to sleep, or else you're too revved up. And so you actually need to cool and calm down.
And taking that further, you also note that there are scientifically proven ways to be happier. Can you talk a little bit about some of those ways as well?
Well, we actually just ended on one. One is exercise, which produces those endorphins that I was just talking about. They've been shown to have positive effects on depression. So no one's asking anybody to train for a marathon or to run daily. If you just walk a few times a week, you'll be surprised at the results that the endorphins can have on you. While there's no depression diet per se, there's no denying that we feel better when we eat well. So choosing food that's high in those omega-3 fatty acids, lean proteins, healthy fruits and vegetables can make you feel a lot better than a heavy carb and sugary food diet. Sleep is essential for mood and overall wellness. You want to try to be in bed and wake up about the same time every day. So whether you need to be or not, this really puts the body into a normal rest and wake cycle, and your body needs this to get to its deepest level of sleep, which helps improve mood and restore your body's natural immunities. This sentence, I need to practice what I preach, but you should not drink caffeine after 2 p.m. In the afternoon, and this because this does have effects on your long-term sleep. You want to make sure that you remove any distractions from your bedroom. That includes watching TV right before bed, using the screens, and having any phones. Don't read articles in your phone. Don't play games or have any other distractors. Blue screens actually stimulate brain activity, and that actually keeps you up and prevents sleep. The bedroom is just for sex and sleep. So remove any distractions from your mind, and just have it bed and sleep. That's actually what your mind should connect with your bedroom. Therapy can also help to challenge negative thoughts and classic symptoms of depression. When we're depressed, we think the worst will happen. This is called catastrophizing. So a therapist can help you challenge the reality of those thoughts, and they can help you replace them with positive and realistic ones. When you're depressed, you feel hopeless a lot of the time. So you can feel things like no one likes you, like you don't have a support system, like everything's going to go wrong. And a therapist can help you see, instill hope again, have small victories, and show you that you do have a support network, that people like you, that that people have actually been reaching out to you a lot of the time, many times, and that things are not going to go as you fear. Consistently challenging this thinking and learning to have a more accurate outlook can have a really positive impact on your mood, and it can start to snowball in a positive way. Research actually shows that individuals with mild depression actually benefit more from talk therapy than they do from antidepressants. And individuals with moderate to major depression benefit most from a combination of therapy and antidepressants. Trying something new actually changes the chemicals in your brain. New activities actually have a chemical impact on mood. So there's no better time to try something that you've never done before than when you're depressed, which actually is contrary to what depression tells you to do. Depression makes us feel like things we once enjoyed aren't fun anymore, but that's just the depression speaking. So we should get out there and try to engage in things that we once loved, even if it's only just like a few steps into it. And then you'll be surprised that you might actually find yourself enjoying it partway through. And then you'll be starting to have fun again. And that's worth the effort. And then there's the light therapy boxes that I talked about at the top of the interview that have been shown to be effective and with increased depression, which those of us in the Midwest who experience 8 months of winter can understand. They stimulate natural light, which has become more accepted. The Mayo Clinic writes about this and their effectiveness, and they've come down tremendously in price, so they're attainable for the average person. You can get them from medical supply companies. You can get them even through Amazon, which makes light therapy accessible and affordable to everybody, and you can make them part of that morning routine, typically anywhere from 25 to 40 minutes, and they can have a great impact on your day. You can have them while you have the morning coffee that you're not having past 2 o'clock, while you sit and have your breakfast or read your paper, while you're able to read your emails after you've had your calm routine. And while it's very important, there's promising studies. There aren't studies on supplements naturally improving depression. So you always want to talk to your doctor before you add any of those in, because actually supplements can have an impact with any medications that you're taking. So don't just go to the stores that that sell supplements and just add them in because they say that they have an impact on depression. There are some supplements that have some potential that they've done, such as fish oil, SAMe, St. John's wort, and folic acid. But again, always talk to your doctor first. Research, as I had noted earlier, does show that saffron can be effective with some mild depression. But again, always double check with your doctor first. There is one other natural alternative, that is acupuncture. While there's not a ton of research on this, it does show some positive results, and I can't think of a better way than to get a treatment that's relaxing and somewhat effective. So those are all of the ways that have been researched and proven so far.
Certainly do appreciate the focus here today and also all the details shared here to get folks jazzed up here, getting ready for a new year. And I certainly like the sleep health aspect and trying new things to get you going in the right direction. All good stuff here today. We're speaking with Dr. Nikki Martinez once again, who has been working as an independent medical expert to assist the courts for the past decade and has also been an adjunct professor For nearly 14 years, she engages in domestic and international consulting for various individuals, groups, and organizations, and offers individual and couples consulting via telemental health services here on eHealth Radio's Health News and Sleep Health channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, do you see regional, seasonal, or schedules having an impact on mood as well?
Absolutely. For example, seasonal affective disorder is very regional, as well as individuals who have pre-existing mental health conditions will often have significant increases and or fluctuations in their system, in their symptoms during the winter months when there's no natural light. I'll often have people who move to the Midwest who are very confused, who have who are experiencing depression for the first time, and I'll explain to them what seasonal affective disorder is, and say they moved from New Orleans here, and I'll explain, you haven't been without natural light for this many months since 11, and then it's like a light bulb goes off, and they're like, oh, yes, that's right. They're like, it's been 6 months without any light. You know, it's March, and I haven't seen sunlight in that long. There, and people who are, have major depression or bipolar disorder on top of already having that now have no natural light. They're having a magnification of their depression on top of it. There are people who have cyclical depression, and so now it's magnified on top of it. There's people who have sleep cycle disorders who are having that. People who are third shift workers also have increased mood symptoms in irregular sleep patterns during this time, and those are now magnified. And so they're having an exacerbation. And many times, both they, their families, their partners, every time this time of year when it rolls around, or more often than not, it's either the early winter or the spring, they forget that this is a cycle. And so there's this magnification of symptoms, and they have to be reminded that this time every year, there's an exacerbation of symptoms. And then when they're reminded, they are able to do both things, whether it's an adjustment in medication or adjustment in medication and an increase in therapy to treat it. But they forget that things are getting worse and worse, and they don't know what the cause is.
Now, here's another question for you. Why do we repeat patterns that are have painful dynamics? What's your thought on that?
Well, we repeat, as strange as it sounds, we repeat patterns to master them by nature. We unconsciously repeat patterns to master them because we know them. We repeat patterns to avoid mastery. We repeat patterns because they feel like home. I read this in an article recently, and what they meant, because they feel like home, because they feel comfortable, they feel natural, they're what we've always done. We repeat them because we get stuck, and that's because of our neurobiology. That's individuals who need medication to balance out, you know, their serotonin and their dopamine. So we repeat these patterns that are painful to us, that are unhealthy for us. Because of all of these reasons, because we're trying to learn to do what's right. We're trying to learn to avoid doing them. Because we're used to them and they're comfortable, and we revert to old things because we are pre-wired to do them. All of these reasons, we repeat them until we finally start doing things to break the cycle, because we realize all of these things that we're doing right actually work.
Makes a lot of sense, and thanks for your feedback there as well. As we conclude, it is possible making all these changes might feel overwhelming for some folks tuning in here today. Does someone need to make all of these changes to see or feel a difference? Give us some feedback there as we conclude today.
Absolutely not. I would feel overwhelmed if I made 10% of these changes. I think people need to make small and manageable steps. If they choose two of these things to try to make changes to, they would probably see a significant change in their depression and or anxiety. People don't make changes because they try to take on everything at once and they get overwhelmed. You have to just take on baby steps, and then you feel and experience those small successes, which give people hope, which give people self-esteem, which give people mastery, and that lets them do the next thing and the next thing and feel better and better. It's when someone takes that entire list and they say, I'm going to do it all. You know, I'm going to do it all this week, this month. And then they feel overwhelmed or they feel like a failure that they stop doing them. They just have to pick one or two little things and take on part of it. And then they can feel a little bit of success and a little bit of hope and keep going from there.
And there you have it. And once again, Dr. Martinez, we want to thank you for all you're doing, for joining us once again here on the program. If listeners wanted to tap into your resources, services, and or to be in touch, and or even to get more information on yourself, where's the best place to do so?
They can reach me at my website at drnikkimartinez.com. It's drnikkimartinez.com. They can reach me on LinkedIn. It's the LinkedIn address, and then it's nikki-martinez. And then I would love if they would check out either my articles or any of the other voices that are right for everydaypower.com. I think that they will find some great articles right up the alley. There's a lot of articles on depression and anxiety and some natural ways to treat it that I think that they would really connect with on that site.
And of course, listeners, refer to the show notes of this broadcast to find the particular links mentioned as well. Dr. Martinez, all the best. Thank you so much again for joining us here today on the Health Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Again, we've been speaking with Dr. Nikki Martinez, who has been working as an independent medical expert to assist the courts for the past decade and also has been an adjunct professor for nearly 14 years as she engages in domestic and international consulting for various individuals, groups, and organizations and offers individual and couples consulting via telemental health services. And for further details, simply visit drnikkimartinez.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.